is awesome. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to Scripture tonight, this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would grace us now, dear God, with your anointing, that you may come and open the words of life to us. We may be able to draw strength from them, Lord, to eat of them today. I pray, dear God, that you, Lord, will through your words strengthen your people, Lord God. Encourage them, uplift them, Lord. We ever give you the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read verses 5 through 7. What I want to speak on this morning is this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure in earthen vessels. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You may be seated. It's God's life veiled in human flesh today. God in you. When you believe on Jesus Christ, I mean really believe on him from your heart, you receive Zoe, God's own life, eternal life. And the Bible says that you've passed from death unto life, not to come into the condemnation. So you have took on God's own life. People say, well, how am I don't know how I'm going to be able to live this. Once you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, you can live it. Because it's not your life anymore. It's not you living it, but it's Christ living in you. It's the treasure that we have in these earthen vessels. It wasn't put there by man. It's put there by the power of God, the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. It's the earthen vessel. It's a veil. It's much like when you think of the tabernacle, and years ago we did a study on the tabernacle. But when you think on the tabernacle, where was, you know, you come to the first part of the tabernacle and you've got the white curtains that signify purity and righteousness and so on. And then you go on in but what veils where the ark is? It's not a curtain of purple to represent royalty. It's not another white curtain to represent purity. It's not some scarlet curtain to represent the blood, but it's a curtain of old badger skins. And you wonder, when you study on the tabernacle and you see the different materials and how they made them, it talks about how they would make the flax and so on, and how they would make the cloth for the curtains that were around the tabernacle and around the holies and around the holiest of holies and the most high place. And yet when it come to the veil, the ark, the word of God, the Shekinah glory, they used old badger skins. Something that there's no beauty in it. And you think, why would God have chose old badger skins? Because it's he was looking at what he was going to veil himself in. That he was going to veil himself, his own life, in humanity. That behind, that to be veiled behind badger skin, why you wouldn't think anything valuable could be back there. And it's the same thing when people look at you, these earthen vessels, the old badger skin, so to speak. They don't think anything of value could be on the inside. They look at how could Christ be in them. They make mistakes and they have faults and they have failures and they're human. You know, and a lot of times people and will try to lift the ministry up as being something that is superhuman, and they're not. They're as human as you are. Same old badger skin. It's not something that that looking at it had any beauty with which you would desire of it. And that's the way it was when God came and veiled himself in Jesus Christ. The Bible says he had no beauty on which that you would desire him. It was that old badger skin again. God hid back behind the badger skin. You know, I looked up about badgers. They're kind of cantankerous animals, stay to themselves, and they got a smell about them, and they pretty much leave everything alone, though, until they're cornered, and then when they're cornered, they can fight and overcome things, you know, that's much larger than them. You ever get a human cornered one time? Watch how much they fight and scrap. But it's that old stinking, rotten badger skin. If he would have put it behind a curtain of purple, it wouldn't have been hiding anything. If he would have come down the way that the Sanhedrin and the priests thought that the coming of the Messiah should be, it wouldn't have been veiled at all. It wouldn't have been hidden. If he would have come down in great glory as a king descending down out of heaven with all of his glory and might and power, why, that wouldn't be hidden at all. But he come in a little humble man. Jesus Christ, there was nothing about him to look on him. He had no beauty that we would desire him, the Bible said. He was just an ordinary looking man. But inside him was God, hid inside that veil of flesh. You think about what that old badger skin was hiding. What was behind there? Well, there was the Ark of the Covenant, which had the tablets in it, which represented the Word of God. But also, remember, only the high priest could go in behind that veil. And then only once a year could he go in behind that veil. Because remember when they were looking about trying to decide, you know, whether they would have somebody else more spiritual than Aaron. And God spoke to Moses and told him, said, take everybody's staff and put them back there in the holiest of holies. And they put them back in there, and the other ones went in there dead, dry sticks and came out dead, dry sticks. But Aaron's went in there and began to bear almonds. Remember that? Began to bear almonds. It came to life, and leaves came out on it, and it bore almonds, an old, dry, dead stick. What was it that caused it to do that? It was the Shekinah glory of God that was veiled behind those old badger skins. It veiled the Shekinah glory of God. And that's what is behind these old badger skins today? This flesh, this earthen vessel that we are. It's the Shekinah glory of God. But it's hidden. It's a hidden power. The people can't see it. People look at you. They don't see the power of God. they look at you and it's, you know, it seems like especially people that are closer to you. A lot of times, the closer they are to you, or the more they look at your flesh. And it's that way because God chose to hide himself that way. And the Bible, it gives us the answer of why he chose to hide himself that way. It said, so that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Eternal life. Hallelujah. Some people want that hidden power. Brother Branham said they want to look at it like a rabbit's foot, something they can rub now and then and it'd bring them good luck. But that ain't what the hidden power is about. It's an overcoming power. You know, the Bible tells us that in each age there were overcomers. There would be, and there will be an overcomers out of this last age. Brother Branham, he puts it so plainly when he says, you know, a lot of people, over the years, I talked to different people, and some folks, they thought like, as once you got the Holy Ghost, then everything was good to go. Everything was over with. You wouldn't have no more trials, no more temptations, and nothing else. Brother Branham said, you wasn't even in the battle before. But once you got the Holy Ghost, then all of hell is against you. Now you're in the battle. Not a picnic, but a battle. The man said, if you came to eat cookies and drink milk, well, you came to the wrong place. Because we're not on a picnic, we're in a battlefield. And said, the battlefield that Satan chose was the battlefield of the mind. That he would tempt you and test you and fight you in your mind. I've never heard of such a day of mental illnesses and mental stress and so on as in this time era. You know, you hear about it, it's more prevalent. Everywhere you look, somebody's got something that they're dealing with mentally. Satan, Brother Branham said, in this last age, all of hell got opened up, and all the demons out of hell now are against God's people. You're not just fighting some devils, you're fighting all the devils. So it pays to have that hidden power on the inside. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Of course, Nicodemus didn't understand what he was saying. He said, how can I enter in again into my mother's womb? But that wasn't what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about a life that would come alive on the inside of you, a new life, a new person. Zoe, God's own life, eternal life. And when you receive that, friends, your soul, remember this, your soul is immortal. Your body is in a mortal state. Your body, it grows old. Every day it's dying. And, Brother Branham said that you're born, you got so many lights in you. I can't remember how many he said now. Four lights or something like that. And four lights, so when you're born, he said at age 25, the first light goes out. And, but this body is getting old, but that soul on the inside is immortal. It's immortal. It can't die no more than God can die. Why? Because it's God's own life. Satan can take and destroy this body. Look at when Satan came to God back in the time of Job. And he said, God said, if you considered my servant Job, there's none like him in all the earth. And he said, yeah, well, you got a hedge around him. I can't touch him, but if you'll let me touch him, I'll have him curse you to your face. And remember what God said, he could touch everything except Job's life. Now, it would have been impossible for Satan to actually touch the life of Job. He could take the natural life, but he could never kill Job because Job's soul was eternal. But God said this to Satan, you can't even touch his natural life, as a sign showing that Satan cannot touch your immortal soul. I wonder if Brother Branham said a tormenting demon could come. And he said, drive you totally insane. But that's got nothing to do with your soul. He said that soul could still have possessed the Holy Ghost. It's because that it's just like somebody getting cancer. Just because somebody gets cancer don't mean they ain't got the Holy Ghost. See what I'm saying? So if Satan affects somebody in their mind, that don't mean they ain't got the Holy Ghost. It just means it's just another illness, just like cancer or heart condition or whatever else. It's just another way Satan's had to come against these bodies. And being that the mind is the great battleground anyway. Amen. Pass from death into life, never to come into the judgment. Turn with me, you would, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I want to begin reading at verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the mystery among the Gentiles? The mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ in you, that's the mystery among the Gentiles. Now, we know that Peter and John and you know, 118 others received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. They were all Jews. But then Peter, even himself, through a vision from God, seeing that God was beginning to turn and call the Gentiles as well. And this was a mystery, that God would be reaching out to the Gentiles, a race of people which the Jews looked down upon. But all through the scriptures, we can look back and see that God was continuously pointing to this. In that, we find that even back as far as when Joseph took a Gentile bride, Joseph being a type of Christ, then we find that in the time of Joshua, there was Rahab, who was a Gentile. She was a harlot and married to a general out of Joshua's army, took a Gentile bride, and from that came Boaz. And then we find that Boaz himself takes a Gentile bride. So God was showing this in types all throughout the Old Testament, which was a shadow of what was coming. He was showing it continuously that there was going to be a Gentile bride. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, excuse me, in Christ Jesus. The word perfect means mature. We're to be mature Christians, growing up, not needing milk, but being able to eat the meat of the word. In other words, you know, a child, somebody that's immature, they can actually become offended sometimes. But a mature individual, the word's coming forth, even when it comes forth in a corrective manner, it doesn't offend you. You should be mature enough to realize that it's the love of God. God corrects us because he loves us. He doesn't, you know, friends, he doesn't just let us, if God would just let us go, you know what, we'd end up being lost. We'd end up being lost if he would just let us go. But he doesn't. He brings correction to get our feet on the right path. And then when he gets our feet on the right path, then he gives us his own life. And the Holy Ghost, it isn't, you know, some people think, well, in a bubble, that, you know, shouldn't be any more trouble. But Brother Branham said that God doesn't pull you through a pipe and pull you out another end and say, you've overcame. He said you wouldn't have overcame nothing. But the Holy Ghost is a teacher. And to overcome, to be an overcomer, you've got to overcome something. And you say, well, it's hard. If it wasn't hard, you wouldn't be having to overcome it. That's what the whole definition of the word overcome entails. It's something that is there that's not easy, but you still can defeat it. You can overcome. How? Because you've got the hidden power on the inside of you. Friends, if you ain't got that hidden power, you are to cry before God and say, God, I need it. Because he said you must be born again. You must have the Holy Ghost to make it through this hour. And you won't make the rapture without the Holy Ghost. Mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He didn't say that he would be doing greater works, but said you would be doing greater works. We've read before from 1 John chapter 4, but let's just read it again. We've read it so many times, and you've heard it preached on so many times, but it just fits in with this message this morning. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now notice he used the word is, which is present tense. It's not talking about Jesus or God coming in the flesh of Jesus. It's talking about God, Jesus Christ, his own life, coming in flesh today, present tense. Confess that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you. That hidden power, that hidden life that's on the inside of those old badger skins, that's hidden down in this earthen vessel. You think you wouldn't want to put something of value in a vessel that was just made out of clay. But these lumps of clay that we are, it's like that old song, this house of clay, the bars of bone, we're held prisoner by this old flesh. But it says one day the doors are going to burst wide open. And it says, I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle. This old lump of clay, Brother Branham says in the Fellowship by Redemption, he says, your old tabernacle, your aches and groans and squeaks, that's right. What does it mean, this old lump of clay? Someday it's going to fade away, but there's something inside that little lump of clay there that's trying to get out, trying to liberate itself. Oh, what is it? It's the little bird called the soul. And the only way it can get free is one morning the clay will break away and will drop and rise and ever sees the everlasting prize when the soul goes to meet its lover yonder. The only thing that keeps you here is this little old rackety bunch of clay. And the only way God can preach the gospel today is through that lump of clay, and that's why he's keeping you here. So how is it, and now we're not talking about the gospel being preached like what I'm doing right now. We're talking about a life being lived through you. The gospel being alive, not just in word, but in spirit inside of you. The gospel presented before the world. The wonder Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Why? Because inside of you is the Shekinah glory, the light of God, and it's shining out from this earthen vessel, and it's the light that the world can see. And friends, they'll be judged by what they see when it comes down to the time of judgment. They can't say, well, I never know nothing about it. Well, when you saw somebody that they knowed so well and seen a change happen in them, why didn't they go inquire more about that? They had opportunity. The gospel right there was presented to them. The only way God can preach the gospel today is through that lump of clay, and that's why he's keeping you here. And that's why you sick people have a right to come to Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, if you only heal me now, I'll go. I may not be a preacher, but I'll talk about it. I'll do everything I can. You are the vine. I'm one of the branches. Now, the vine doesn't bear the fruit. The branches bears fruit, not the vine, the branch. The vine only puts the energy into it. The gospel can be preached by Christ if you'll open up yourself and be a branch that'll bear forth fruit. Others can see Christ in you by your testimony, by your life and the way you live. He is the energy, but you are the show picture. You're the walking Bible. You're the show picture. You that have received the Holy Ghost, you had to die out to self. And when you died out to self, it was going into a dark room to be developed. And then it comes out the picture. And what is it? It's a picture of perfection. It's a picture of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Peter and John, after they were in the upper room, went out, came down by a gate that was called Beautiful. There was a lame man that was sitting there begging. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. He said, took him by the hand, and he stood up and walked. And what was it that Peter had? He had the same life that had been inside of Jesus. The same life that was in Christ was in them, so such as I have, give I you. That same life that was in Jesus caused the same works to happen. Jesus went around healing the lame. Now here is a man, two men, that inside them is the same life that was in Christ, and it goes and it does the exact same thing. Branham says in the message of the token, he says, today the Holy Ghost is God's covenant with God's covenant people. The Holy Ghost, the life of the resurrected Christ, has got to be displayed in the church amongst the people, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. The New Testament means a new covenant, blood life, new life token in us. Where the old blood stood for a simple sign of the chemistry that a lamb had died. The Holy Ghost is a life that was in the person of Jesus Christ that's displayed in you and I tonight. Outside of that, there is no mercy. Oh my. Where's the mercy at today? In the life of the bride, which is the life of Christ. Only when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So the token on display. Sirs, we would see Jesus, Brother Bram says, God humbles himself. God is humility. The man that can humble himself is on his road up. He that exalts himself is on the road down. Always. So we must remember that Christianity is not pushing ahead and trying to get ahead of the other fellow, but stepping back and taking a back seat, you see, letting the other fellow go. That's Christianity. Humble yourself. He was our example in every way of what we should be. And if that life can reflect in us, people will see Christ in you. Amen, when they see that. But they didn't recognize Christ or Messiah or God in Jesus. They seen that something was there, but they didn't want to admit that's what it was. They see it displayed in you. The reason, though, they want to point their fingers at your flesh is to try to justify themselves. Well, I've seen you do this or that or the other, which to them is to justify them for not doing certain things, for not living right. Brother Branham says, how do you know that your life might not inspire some young man on the gospel? Some of you older men or older women, start some young man on the field there to win 10,000 souls to Christ. You know, if your life inspires someone, like Brother Branham is saying right here, to go and win thousands of souls, you know who also gets credit before God for them souls? You. That inspired that. When I go places and minister the word and people are helped, it's not me that gets credit for that. It's God. But in God's eyes, you get credit because you're the ones that support me and make it able for me to be able to do those things. It's because that he saw Christ in you. It's Christ presents Christ to him in the simple power of the gospel. The only way we see Christ is when he reflects in each other. I see Christ in you. You see him in me. That's how we watch Christ. I come to the meeting. I start preaching. I watch people. You can see whether they're interested or not in just a few minutes. You look over the audience and you can tell whether you're boring them or whether you're not. The first thing you know, you see them sitting there hanging on every word under expectation. I'm seeing Christ reflected in that person because he's hungering and thirsting for God. And then me preaching the gospel, he sees Christ reflecting in me. I see Christ reflecting in him. That means Christ is in our midst then. Hungering and thirsting. I watch the audience how they take it. Say something another. Watch what effect it takes on them. Watch their face light up full of joy. They're ready right then to receive something. That's Christ. I see Christ reflecting in that person because the gospel, the simple gospel of Christ, is taking a hold in that heart because they're hungering and thirsting. To come back to this about the badger skin. Brother Branham says, until you go behind that badger skin and come into the presence of God, then the word becomes a living reality to you. Then you're awakened to the Shekinah glory. Then the Bible becomes a new book. Then Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're living in his presence, eating the shoe bread that's only provided that day for believers, priests only. And we are priests, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, giving spiritual sacrifice to God. But you must come in behind the veil to see the unveiled God. So we must go in to behind the veil, into the holies of holies. Look, in Matthew, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and said, have I not done these works in your name? And said, cast out devils, heal the sick, and so on. And Brother Ram said, in Matthew, Jesus never said that he denied their works. But what he said was, I never knew you. In other words, they only came along so far. They may have got sanctified. They may have even got the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon their own spirit. That's what sanctification is. But they never went on into the holies of holies. They never went on in to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and allow him to come in and be Lord of all. Be Lord of this part of me and Lord of that part of me, but I'm reserving some parts because I want to stay in control. That ain't the way God wants it. He wants to be Lord of all or not at all. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but lukewarm. They were performing the works, but they had never had that experience with him. They had never received the Holy Ghost. I've been around people that claim to have the Holy Ghost out amongst some of these denominations, and yet you know they don't. In some of them, it's just a put on. Some of them, they truly believe they got it. But you know, they don't see this end time truth. But I've seen them pray, and I've seen people healed. And it's because God's got to keep his word. He said that if you would ask, you shall receive. It said if they would pray and believe, that they would receive whatsoever they desired. Brother Branham brings this out also in about anointing ones, false anointing ones at the end time. That they could be false, but have a true anointing. Now, that doesn't make them all false. Friends, there's going to be some that are in these denominations out there that they will go through the tribulation and they'll seal their own testimony with their own blood. And at the white throne judgment will receive eternal life for what they've done, because the Bible speaks to those foolish virgins. And you remember what it was the foolish virgin lacked. The foolish virgin had everything else except the oil, which represented the Holy Spirit, which is the representation of the Shekinah glory, which is the Bible said that he was going to write his word upon our hearts. God's desire wasn't just to have his word wrote on paper, but that it would be wrote in the hearts of his people. That was his desire. And he's writing his word into our hearts as we come and we listen to the voice of God and as God speaks. And he goes through and brings these scriptures out to us and brings these different things out and shows us how it goes together. What is he doing? He's writing on our hearts. Now the glory of God behind your skin. Christ is seen in the love that you express from your heart toward someone else. The compassion is revealed through your spirit. Christ is seen. Kindness displayed through your actions, they see Christ. The blessings received through your life, others being blessed because of your life, that's Christ in you. That's the mystery among the Gentiles. That's the treasure that's hid in earthen vessels. That's the treasure. The treasure that's hid in earthen vessels is eternal life, God's own life, the Holy Ghost. Isn't it a treasure to have that? Isn't it a treasure to have that assurance? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah. Heir of salvation. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we come to you now, Lord. We're asking, Lord, for you to take this word and quicken it to our hearts, dear God. How we should be encouraged today. Lord, looking at what you've chosen to do, how you've hid yourself in us, Lord. Lord, how is it that we can be eternal? Because we have your own life. Because of that, we can no more die than you can die. Hallelujah. If this body dies, it'll rise again. There's a resurrection coming. Hallelujah. But that we have died out to self. And there's a spiritual resurrection that's took place. Your prophet said that unless a spiritual resurrection has took place in our lives, we would never receive a natural resurrection. But that spiritual resurrection, the life of Christ in us, taking effect. Lord, and then on that day, as the Bible says, those who are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. And we as the dead in Christ rise first, Lord, we'll be changed and then united together to go to meet you in the air. Hallelujah. Lord, how we look forward to that. Lord, the hope of glory is that Christ is in us. That's the mystery, the secret among the Gentiles. That's the treasure that's hid in these earthen vessels. Hallelujah. That the excellency of the power of God would be of God and not of us. Lord, we thank you for this morning. I ask you to bless your people now in Jesus Christ's name.